and welcome to this episode of HR Radio. My name is Sarah from the HRO team, and today we will be continuing our discussion on how HR leaders are ensuring a cost-effective yet high-impact talent mobility package to retain a rich talent pool. Now, to recap, this discussion explores the strategic balance between cost-effective employee mobility solutions and career development in the ever-changing landscape. And we will be looking at how organizations navigate this intersection for financial sustainability and long-term workforce success. In today's episode, we are joined by Shazi Tan, the Senior Manager for Global Mobility at Visa, who is going to share her insights on how organizations are combating the challenges and concerns faced by mobility professionals. Shazi comes with a career spanning a decade over several industries such as hospitality, manufacturing, financial services, and professional services. Today, Shazi is speaking to us purely from her experience as a mobility professional and her personal capacity. So let's give a warm welcome to Shazi on HR Radio. Hi,
Shazi.
Thank
you so much. Thank you for the invite.
How are you feeling today?
Fantastic, actually. I had a day in the morning. I had a break and then I'm ready for the little podcast.
Wonderful. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you.
Now, let's get the ball rolling.
Sure.
With the first question. What is a top concern that you believe mobility professionals are facing today? Do share with me some of the trends you have observed and how HR leaders like yourself are addressing these concerns.
There is a looming recession or so that's planned in the next coming months or years. And therefore, companies have decided that instead of waiting for it to happen, let's start now, right? So we got out of COVID and then the whole, oh, let's get back into normal society, going back to work, return to office and all that. It turns out that now everyone's like, hey, don't relocate so fast and so much because the expenses for last year post-COVID was quite high, I think. And a lot of companies have taken the time during COVID season to actually look at the entire policy and program. They looked at all the minor details like, huh, what can we improve, you know? And now that we have come out of it, it's like, okay, let's implement and execute all those policies and tweak it accordingly. So I do think that there's always a cost consciousness to it, but a lot of companies either they expand and then they shrink very fast, or they are just cautiously growing so that they do not have to cut too many heads, you know, in the future. The other trend that I'm seeing as well is the increased request for remote work. And I don't think individuals understand, especially with the new generation where, oh, I would like to work in Bali for 2 months. And, you know, there is a visa that allows me to do that, but there was no concern for tax. There's no concern for corporate tax, for example, permanent establishment risk. I think there is a lot of education that needs to be done. So mobility professionals like myself, we are sort of like mothers and teachers at the same time and trying to say like, there's a limit to how much you can, you know, relocate or put yourself in another country while working for this entity because there are risks. So you need to be able to sign off on those risks. It's not saying like you totally cannot take the risk, right? There are companies who will, there's black, white and shades of gray. And then you're like sort of in the middle. Where do you want to be in? Which position do you want to be in?
Well, thank you for sharing, Shazi. That's really insightful. Now, our next question is, keeping in mind today's technological advancements, what is the biggest impact or potential impact of technology to the mobility function?
If everybody, this year, everybody kind of like woke up and like, oh, ChatGPT, AI. In the past, we had chatbots, right? Like, and then you would know like the government website had like a ask somebody and then you type in something and you always get frustrated because whatever you type, nothing ever comes out correctly. I think even mobility now has ventured into all these AI programs. It's been the last 5 years where relocation management companies have come up with applications like iPhone apps or Android, Samsung apps to say, hey, track your relocation from A to Z, right? And it actually depends on the accuracy of the data being put in so that the viewer can see, oh, okay, like, is it updated timely? But right now, I think a lot of corporates have moved into AI for their own internal employees. So the part where before you even decide, does this person go on assignment, right? For hiring managers, for example, they would want the technology to say, hey, there are policies here, but you have maybe 10 policies. I cannot go through every single one of them. Is there like an AI, a chat GPT or something, for example, that you can key in the keywords and then get the answer? So now mobility is the one who's inputting that data into the system, right? We are the ones who are creating the answers for our consumers. So we also have to be tech savvy. We also have to follow suit. I do think that with technology, people get a little bit more impatient because they expect answers very, very quickly. But I think it's a good thing, right? I come from companies that have moved so fast that everything has to be done yesterday, not tomorrow, not in 2 weeks' time. And relocation is such an emotional thing that you kind of need to take a step back and say, look, I know you're really upset about something or you're really excited about something. You want things to happen quickly, but let's slow it down a little bit. Just make sure that we cover all bases, right? And I think with Teams, for example, like we have all these messenger chats, things are going quickly, like messages are going quickly. So the accuracy of data that you're giving them as well, don't just be in a hurry to reply. I think that's very important as well. So even for relocation companies or immigration companies or tax companies that are calculating their expat taxes, for example, most of them have connected with the employee and say, hey, like this is a team link for you and I to chat. Before it was like an email, it takes a while to respond, or a phone call, you might not be at your desk, you know. So I think things are moving so much faster right now with technology.
I agree with that. Everything is getting really, really fast, but it's also important that we adapt but also understand the progression as well. Now, why is collaboration between different departments so important in ensuring the successful implementation of future-proof mobility initiatives?
So when we say about collaboration, there are two parts, internal and external stakeholders. And external stakeholders are ultimately our face to the company who's actually executing all these processes and this experience for the employee versus internal, when we are the ones who are deciding which talent to move, where to move, how much it is, right? So I think partnership is very, very crucial in making sure that the experience is great for the employee. To the employee, it's not about ABC company. It's not about, your company or the relocation company, it's just the whole experience. And if you have one lapse in that process, that's it. It's going to be bitter for the employee. For future proofing the mobility program and the experience, I think our partners are the ones who sometimes push us. They're like, hey, another company is doing this. Do you want to think about this? And that's where we as corporates leverage on, platforms like yourselves and connect with other industry experts, right? And then we're like, oh, we have this problem. What do you do? And that kind of conversation always happens, whether it's at a conference, after a conference on LinkedIn, or like on WhatsApp, like, can I just tap on your experience in the last 10 years? Like, what have you possibly done in this situation? So I think it's really, really helpful. And with the internal stakeholders, so like whether it's talent acquisition, people, business partner, that's where you get a sense of the direction where the business wants to go, right? So they would have already planned like 5, 10 years down the line. This is where we want to be. And in some companies, things happen so quickly that you have to be able to flex accordingly. So if the company wants to be, say, the latest in technology, they want to spearhead all these technology advancements, right? Mobility has to follow suit. We cannot be a dinosaur while everyone has progressed into like the future. And the way that we do things have to be very, very quick. And I think that's a topic, like a theme for today, right? Being fast, being agile, being versatile, and sometimes having your policies flex and your mobility team being able to say, look, the business just came up with an issue. Like they are facing an issue. Like, can we do something about it? I've been in companies where the red tips are so much that to change a policy or tweak a policy takes a year. Right. I've also been blessed with companies that say, look, like this is not working out for the company. It's no longer working out for the business function. Let's change it. And then it happens overnight. So I think depending on the business, where the direction is, mobility has just got to tag along and make sure we are up to speed or even faster. And interpreting business trends to make sure that we are giving the business the best market practices, or even be the one who's, creating those business practices, best business practices.
Thank you, Shazi. The whole framework sounds very complex, and thank you
Yeah.
for sharing that. Now, our second last question. Looking ahead, what trends do you foresee in companies being able to balance cost management and career development in talent mobility?
I think cost management has always been a topic. because companies always think that, oh, it's so expensive to move for an assignment, let's try to do one-way transfers. And then the different thoughts on mobility came in over the last, I don't know, 5 to 8 years, where we said, look, it's not about the money, right? Yes, it is about money that we have to think about it, but the reason and the intent of the move should not be about money. So we went to operational mobility, where HR generalists were mobility people before, and they said, oh, okay, like we have one expat who wants to move. Let's get an HR generalist to just get immigration there. Let's move the person there. But when you have mobility experts sitting in the room and they're like, no, like let's think about it. First, do you have a local for that role? You know, is that role in that host location meant to be permanent or temporary? So if it's permanent, why are we not hiring a local, right? And sometimes people say, oh, it's counterintuitive because if you don't move people, you'll be out of a job, right? But that's not what we are in the company for. We are there to say, look, when you have a permanent role, you should be hiring a local. And if you cannot, you must have proof of it before you even look for foreigners. Why? A lot of governments now have protectionism measures. They want to protect their locals. So if companies are not demonstrating it, then we have failed to be compliant with government standards, right? And that is the right thing to do for hiring. And then there are some who do intercompany transfers where they say, I've got people who I want to groom to be the next, you know, leader, for example. And in order for them to be the next leader, they have to fulfill certain criteria, like maybe exposure to a certain market or a business function. I think that's where policies have to flex. Do you have strategic leadership, or do you have like career development paths? Or because how you give a person the support depends on the intent of the move. If you're the one who says, oh, Shazi, like, you know, I want to go follow my boyfriend to Australia because he's got a job there, to the company, it's like, oh, okay, we want to keep you as a talent, but did we initiate the move? We didn't, because you put your hands up, you wanted to go. So let's just do compliance only. So that'll be immigration, tax, and maybe a flight, right? And that's it. You have to settle yourself over there. And that's provided that role is suitable for you. And we have tried to hire local and we can't. Versus the complete opposite is, look, the business really needs you there, or the client really needs you there. We have to make it happen. No matter how we have to uproot you, we have to make it happen. The kind of services that we will provide is so different. It's going to be so much more to entice you to go over. Just like being headhunted versus, you know, applying for a job is very different. So I do think that when we are trying to move people, we need to think a little bit more strategically. When we move them there in the host location, are we getting our money's worth? That's one. A lot of companies have clawback. So if I move you for like, you know, from one country to another, within 12 months or 24 months that you leave, I have every right to ask you back for some money for the relocation. And that's just because we've invested so much. And then you decide to like go to another country and leave, you know? But at the same time, if we did our talent management and career succession planning correctly, we wouldn't have that problem or that issue. Or we can minimize it.
Okay, well, thank you, Shazi, so much. Now we're down to our final question, so I'll end it off on a fun note. If you could move to anywhere in the world for your job, where would it be and why?
Initially, I wanted to say Japan for Pokemon. And then I realized that I think the next big thing will be China. And it has been showing signs where, you know, businesses, there's so many China businesses that are flourishing. And most companies have already headquarters in the US or UK or one of the Western countries. So I do think that if it would be fun to go to China to just see a totally different market from their perspective. I've been there a couple of times just as a tourist and business meetings. But I think when I hear my colleagues having the complexities that they do, especially with just the ways of working, the people, the culture, it's going to be quite fun, right? And it's not too far from home that you still can head home. But yeah, initially it was supposed to be Japan just because my 7-year-old or 8-year-old just loves Pokemon. So I have to find a reason to go to Japan every single year.
Thank you so much, Shazi. So unfortunately, it looks like we've run out of time for today, but thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Now, to our listeners, thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Take care and see you in the next podcast. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.